It's important for us to see ourselves the way God sees us. And the last time I read my Bible, it said, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are a saint. So how about anybody married? A lot of people married. As you heard, I've been married for 17 years. We've been with my wife for 17 years. If you had seen us even 10 years ago, you would say there's no way that they are going to represent Jesus. Because our fights and the way we lived our life was a little bit wild, but a lot of today's message is going to be about following Jesus, but it's about transformation, about living a transformed life. Who knows that God can transform a life? Amen. So with four children, three of them just turned two this week, you can imagine 17 years together that sometimes we actually, me and my wife, still do argue. Is that hard to believe? But it looks so different than what it used to. And you know what she says when we argue now? She says, you just think you're so holy. And you know what I say? I said, you are speaking truth to me, because that's exactly what Scripture says about me. Holy, righteous, above reproach in His sight. Colossians 1. So you know what? If I'm still arguing with my wife, what that shows is we are still growing in our identity in Christ. But the reality is, you know what? And I don't always tell her this if we're arguing, but you know what, honey? You are holy too. You are holy too. So you guys have a lot of passion, a lot of fire. I can see a hunger for Jesus. I'm excited. This is going to be fun. So Travis did an amazing job. Thank you, Travis, for that introduction. I was sitting back there getting a little emotional during worship because you know what? Some things can only be God. Some things can only be God. And I appreciate Travis jumping out and asking me to come, because I, before this morning, have actually not seen Travis in 15 years. 15 years. And sometimes I like to say that faith in the kingdom is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And Travis is taking a little bit of a risk. So if you guys don't like me this morning, just take it up with him. So part of my testimony, Travis didn't really, thankfully, get into it too much, because I did think it was important to share this morning, because we are talking about transformation. And a lot of what has brought me here today, and specifically with Travis, is transformation. And so, you know, Travis said we were party boys when we met for many years. And the truth is, I lived that life of partying for a long time, drinking, drugs, things I probably shouldn't even say in front of the children. But it was a life that I lived for a long time. I was a believer. You know, I got sprinkled, you know, accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 13. I grew up in a Methodist church. I had a good, upbringing and everything. And I believed in Jesus. But the reality is, I look back for much of my life, much of even what I would call my Christian life, I actually did not know Him. I did not know Him. So I didn't understand the spiritual battle. Who knows that the spiritual battle is real? Yeah. So the Scripture says our battle is not with flesh and blood. I didn't understand this. I was living a life of sin for many years. I was really probably this close to throwing away my marriage, throwing away my family, and I didn't even know why. I was depressed. Me and my wife were going through a lot of infertility, which you can see, thank God He answered that prayer. But it took us about 5 years to get pregnant with our son, and then about another 4 years to get pregnant with the girls. And it was very hard on my wife. My dad got diagnosed with a disease called Parkinson's. And instead of leaning on God at that time, I went to a very dark place: depression, anxiety, what I would call uncontrollable rage, addictions. And that was a life that I was living. I was going nowhere fast. And we had a friend, and they said, we have this guy coming in from Boston, Massachusetts. He prays for people all over the world, and he's seen many miracles. We don't know if you guys believe in that kind of thing, but we want to invite you in. So first time I ever witnessed a miracle in my life, I was about 5 years old. My dad had a disease called cardiomyopathy. You guys ever heard of it? Actually, an enlarged heart. His heart was too big for his chest. So they were preparing for a heart replacement. He was a father of four young boys. I remember my wife, my mom was preparing to be a widow. Well, she got a call on the phone from the doctor, and the doctor, she got off the phone and she was crying. And she came and gave me a hug. She said, "It's a miracle." She said, "Your dad's heart has gone back to the normal size." And 35, 40 years later, he's still here. So I knew from a very young age that God is a miracle worker. So we said, sure, this guy can pray for our infertility. So we go into the room that night. It was actually in a home church, the basement of a home church. And there were a lot of people in there that loved the Lord. They were down on their knees in worship. And that is just not how I grew up. But something about it to me seemed very real. Like I knew it was authentic. I was like, these guys know Jesus better than I do. So the guy comes in, he starts staring at his testimony. His name was Sean, and he was the son of a gangster. When he was 18 years old, he was in jail for selling drugs. He was reading a book, From Prison to Praise, in his jail cell, and the Holy Spirit came into his jail cell. He said, Jesus is real. He started speaking in tongues, and before you knew it, he was baptizing people in the jails and the sinks. God transformed his life. He started sharing all these miracle stories of things that I had never heard of before, but in my heart, it just felt real. So there were kids in there, disabled children, that they're in wheelchairs and people that, in my mind, I'm like, these people really need prayer. Who am I to even ask for prayer? Because I remember the night before, I remember telling my wife, I said, maybe this guy can help me with my anger. What I didn't know is this guy is Jesus, and he can. But he was praying for people in the room, and my wife, if you guys see her when she comes here, she's a very bubbly personality. But he's like, Sean said, is there anybody else who wants prayer? And my wife's knocking on me, tell them about your anger, tell them about your anger. So I open up and I start sharing the things that I'm sharing with you guys. And at that point in my life, I was a tough guy. I was not going to be vulnerable and from a room full of people that I've never met and share these kind of things. But you know what I did? I opened my heart to Jesus for him to come in. This man, he says, you know what, son? He said, you are being tormented. He said, it's time for it to go. I had no idea what he was talking about because I knew nothing of the spiritual battle. I didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was. I grew up Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. He lives inside us. I didn't know that, but he says, you're being tormented. It's time for it to go. I'm sitting back on a couch like that. He takes my hand. Instantly, I start trembling and crying, which I had not actually cried, I believe, in about 20 years. But you know what? The Lord knew what I needed. 20 years. And then after about 10 seconds, I went completely paralyzed. I could not speak. I could not breathe. I could not move. I was screaming at the top of my lungs for about 30 seconds. My wife will tell you that I was convulsing, and she thought I was going to die. Believe it, don't believe it, doesn't matter. It's my testimony. It happened. All I know is that when I could breathe again, I had no idea what had happened, but I knew I was free. It was all gone. 20 years of drinking, smoking pot, pornography, anger, addictions, rage, in a matter of seconds. Only Jesus. If you only knew the things that I had did, from lifting weights and anti-anxiety medication and all these things that I used to try to do that would put a band-aid on it, but the only thing that could fill that hole in my heart was Jesus. We look for the world for so many things to try to fill, but it cannot fill it. It is a band-aid. And I never looked back. And you know what's so beautiful about that night? I just thank God that my wife was in the room, because if not, she probably would have thought I was crazy. And there might be some people still that I know think that. But it was so powerful for my wife even being in the room at that moment. She grew up in an atheist family, believed in God, but certainly had not given her life to Jesus. Just being in the room when it happened, 2 days later, she gave her life to Jesus. And we both got baptized in our bathtub, one after another, by this man who prayed for me. New life. And everything at that moment changed. Because you know what? The veil was lifted and we started to live our life in the kingdom. Because who knows that heaven is here now? Heaven is in this room today. It's not just about saying a prayer to get to heaven and go to church and be good and someday maybe see this guy on a throne. He's alive. He lives in us. We don't have to wait for that. So Travis asked me, and I'm going to share some more things from that night because it's just so much. When you have an encounter with the living God, and we grow up and we think he's real, we hope he's real, but when we see his power, when we see his love, when we see that he does the impossible, what he did that night in my heart was impossible. But for him, it was like breathing to us. It happened in 30 seconds. I'd been on 7 years of anti-anxiety medication called clonazepam. Some people probably heard of it. It's supposed to be impossible to get off it without side effects. I got off it. I never even had a side effect. That's the power of God. So Travis asked me if I had slides for today. And I said, Travis, I said, no. My wife does all the technology in my house, but it made me thinking, it's like, you know what, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to make some bullets. So I made 3 bullets, which is a really big deal for me. So you guys are going to see, we're going to talk about this, about following Jesus. Travis said in the message right now, you guys are doing a series on following Jesus. And that night, the Lord, if I think about it, I learned so much starting from him that night, but 3 bullets that I put that I think are going to be really instrumental to helping you in your walk and follow Jesus. Whew. So guys, we line up in these pews. Some of you have been probably coming here 20, 30, 40 years, all over America, all over the country. We go to church on Sundays. Some of us go because of our spouse. Some of us come because that's what we think we're supposed to do. And we line these pews for many years, and some of us never know Jesus. It's religion. We don't know him. We don't know that we can have an intimate relationship with him. We don't know that we can hear his voice. Who here knows that you can hear the voice of God, that he will speak to you personally? He desires intimacy. You go to Scripture in John 17, eternal life. What does Scripture tell us that eternal life is? Does it say to go to church? Does it say to be good? Does it say to say a prayer to go to heaven? It says that eternal life is to know him. To know him. To know him intimately. The way that you would know your spouse or your child or your parents. It is a love affair, guys. Like, we fall in love with him. We get to know him, experience life with him now. We need to know that he's a good father. We need to know that he's not taking out your loved ones. Because a lot of times when bad things happen, we look to God and we say, why you? Why did you do this? Why did you allow that to happen? Look, some people might get upset with this, but I'm going to tell you, if somebody went home today and died in a car accident, it is not the will of God. It is not your time. That's what we teach. It was his time. God had a reason. No. We have made, I go to John 10:10. It's one of my favorite verses in all Scripture. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, he does.
But I, as in Jesus, I have come to bring life and bring it abundantly. Yes. He is the giver of life. But so many, because bad things happen, and then the enemy pulls the double whammy on you, and he kills, steals, and destroys, and then he makes you think that it was God. And then we get mad at God. We've made God out to be the thief, but he's not the thief. That night that the Lord set me free from darkness, I hated myself. I hated everyone around me. I had no reason in my heart to think that the Lord wanted me to be free. I was bad news. I was bad news. But you know what? All I did was open my heart to him, and he showed me his love. His love, his magnificent, never-ending love. And he wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to walk in truth. He does not want us to walk in sickness. He does not want us to walk in pain or anger or depression or anxiety or any of those things. I used to think that, like, we were supposed to, like, it was okay to live that way. Oh, well, everybody has anxiety. Everybody has anger. That is such a lie, guys. It's such a lie. But what's amazing about God, so many of us, it's like, well, he can forgive us. Jesus went on the cross to forgive us. But we don't know that he also wants to use us. He wants to partner with us. He wants us to be a light out in a dark world, to give people an encounter with the living God, to let them know who Jesus is. Because we cannot expect the unbelieving world just to come to church. We have to bring the church. We have to get outside these four walls and show them who Jesus is. Travis shared a little bit about his story. I'm sure some of you guys know it, but do you guys know the prodigal son? A lot of you know the story of the prodigal son. For those who don't, basically there was two sons, and one of them was ready for his inheritance. His father gave him his inheritance. He left. He traveled. Debauchery, women, all those things. He completely scrambled his inheritance. He had no money left. He ended up essentially living and eating with the pigs. And he started thinking. He said, my father has servants. They eat better than I do. Maybe my father would allow me to be a servant and come back home. That was his expectation, right? He comes back home humbled, I think not really knowing to expect, embarrassed, I'm sure. And what happens when the father sees him? Did he go and give him a spanking? He ran to him out of love because the son had come home. The prodigal sons are beautiful. It's a beautiful story when someone's lost and they come home, but we have to remember what makes the prodigal sons and daughters possible is a good and loving father that welcomes us home with open arms. I love Paul. Paul in Damascus, he had been murdering Christians. When his eyes were open to truth, what happened? Did God say, you're going to be punished? You barely made it in, Paul. He made him an apostle. He wrote half the New Testament. So if we think that we can't be forgiven or that we can be forgiven, but that God won't use us in powerful ways, we've got to stop with the guilt, the shame, the lies, the condemnation. Because that night, when he set me free, he did not say, Nathan, you got to earn this. You got to earn this back. He did not punish me. You know what the first thing the Holy Spirit said? I was sitting there sobbing, crying, bawling my eyes out for probably 2 hours. And the first thing I heard the Holy Spirit say, and I knew it was the voice of God, he said, you're going to do this too. You're going to do this too. And 3 days later, I was out praying for people on the streets. Because from that moment, I knew and have always seen and known that I am a son and that he loves me as a son. So I want you to see and know that you are sons and daughters and that you are loved, and we are not going to swim in guilt anymore. So we need to know him. That was bullet point number one, Travis. Bullet point number two is going to be to know who he is in you. Do you know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, this is Scripture, Romans 8:11, do you know that he lives in you? Who knows that? Some? Most? Maybe? So what does that mean? We need to know our identity in Christ. Some people think that, oh, well, that's overrated. Really, really. When Jesus was in the wilderness, what is the first thing that the enemy tried to question. Jesus was the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. The enemy knew he was the Son of God. But the first thing the enemy said after the 40 days, he said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." So if you think that he's not going to question the identity of Jesus, that he's not going to question your identity, you better wake up. Because you look at the world right now, and it is a mess. I'm going to tell you right now, it's an identity crisis. You think that the enemy is not trying to come after our identity? We live in a world where anything goes. But what does Scripture say? It's the narrow path. Galatians 5, he says, you are not supposed to do whatever you want. It's just be you. That's the world. Just be you. We think that sounds nice, but that is deception. Oh, some people are going to get mad at me, but that's okay. We have little boys thinking they're little girls thinking they're little boys, and we say that that's okay. That is deception. It's identity crisis. And you know what? Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days, no food. Even as the Son of God, guess what? He still had flesh. I do not think that that was fun for him. In the desert, not eating, hot weather, not eating for 40 days. I do not think that that was fun. So guess what? To know your identity, see, Jesus got through the 40 days. He was tempted by the devil in what was perceived to be his most vulnerable moment. And what did Jesus do? He looked at him and he stomped him out. He showed who he was. He knew who he was, even at his most vulnerable moment. And guess what? I believe at that moment, he passed the test. Some of us, we think we're in the wilderness and we think that it's punishment. God wants to take you to a deeper place. He wants to teach you and grow you up because you are called to represent the kingdom of heaven. Travis, the world would say that you are still a drug addict, right? Some people in the world, like, I'm not going to knock anybody's way of finding sobriety, okay? But you guys have to know, the world would say that I was an alcoholic. There are things that you get up and you say, well, my name is Nate, and even if I haven't drank for 5 years, my name is Nate, and I'm an alcoholic. That's what programs teach. But I am here to tell you, when you are in the kingdom, that identity is gone. You are no longer an alcoholic. You are no longer an addict. You are no longer any of those things. You have been made new. You are a new creation in Christ. You have a brand new identity. When you give your life to Jesus, you go under that water. You say yes in your heart. All the sin, the darkness, it washes away and you come up clean. If you've given your life to Jesus, we have to stop seeing ourselves as dirty. We have to stop seeing ourselves as dirty because that we do, right? But you're not. You're made new. We need to know. It's important for us to see ourselves the way God does, because when we see ourselves the way God does, I think everything changes. See, Jesus said a good tree can't bear bad fruit. That's right. So we think about that sometimes. If we actually, you know, look at the scripture, a good tree can't bear bad fruit. So we think about it, and it's like, all right, well, I drank on Friday night, you know, I took something that maybe I shouldn't have. Well, I guess I'm no good. The very next verse, it says, well, a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Oh, okay. So I give back to my community. I'm a good dad. I'm a good mom. I give back to the homeless, whatever it is. So we start thinking, well, what's going on? See, he's not talking about the fruit. He's talking about the tree. He's talking about your identity. And when you know the tree is good, you can't bear bad fruit. When you know the tree is good, you can't bear bad fruit. You have to know that you are a good tree. Amen? Ephesians 2 says that we are seated in heavenly places now. We are wholly blameless above reproach in his sight. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. We have to start seeing ourselves and know who we are in Jesus, who he is in us. So my third bullet, we get to know the heart of the Father. We know he's a good father, right? Then we start to know who he is in us. And then when those things align and we get to that place, then we can start to become him. So it's not just to follow him, it's to become him. Because when I see Jesus, when I read the Gospels, of course he was the Son of God, and he stands out above the rest of us. But I also believe that he was the perfect example of how to live a Christian life. He came to show us how to live a Christian life. Signs, wonders, miracles, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, share truth and love everywhere you go. That's what I saw Jesus do. Because we have made a Christian life something a lot different than that. And I'm not trying to bring any kind of guilt, shame, or condemnation, but so many of us, we say, well, I'm saved. I go to church on Sunday, and then we get out there on Monday through the rest of the week, and we look like the rest of the world. And the world sees it, and it's hypocritical. And this is like one of the biggest things that I have on my heart today about becoming him. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. You know, that night when I got set free and I started sharing that with people, you'd think everybody thought, wow, that's amazing, that's a true story. No, they did not. And I knew right away that everything that I had seen my whole life, it just changed. What I thought was important was really no longer important. I knew that there was a calling and a destiny on my life, and I'm here to tell you that there is a calling and a destiny on your life. Wherever you are right now, know that you are called. There's a reason that you're even here today. Okay, guys? But there's a cost. 3 days after I was set free, again, the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you're going to do this too. I knew nothing about healing. I knew nothing about deliverance. I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. But I knew that God told me that, so I believed it because he's not a liar. So I started reading scripture, and I started seeing things, like in John 14, where you will do greater works than me because I've gone to be with my Father. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So what does that tell me? We can go out there and really look like Jesus. This is not arrogant. This is how he designed it. Usually, there are times where God comes in sovereignly and will do something, but most of the time, he's going to use us. We are his vessels. We speak things into existence, and the atmosphere changes. People get healed. People are set free. Well, the beautiful thing about the night that I was free, it was a man that prayed over me. It was a man operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God went to work. Travis, you said when you were healed, when you were set free, it was a man, I believe this man right here, that prayed over you. $1,000 a week meth habit. And Travis said he didn't care if I said that, so I said it. After that night, he never had the desire to touch those things again. Only the power of God. When you really start following Jesus, guys, chances are you might lose some family. You might lose some friends. You might have people say not good things about you. Can you imagine for somebody like myself, like Travels was talking about, when I share messages about seeing people healed on social media that knew me as a party boy, like with Travis? They talk bad things sometimes. But you know what? So what? Because I discovered truth that most people don't know, and I'm going to live it. And it does not matter what other people think. We have to stop caring so much about what everybody thinks. We live in a country where we have so much freedom to share Jesus. There are people in other countries that get their heads cut off, people that go to jail, and we're worried about what somebody thinks about us on Facebook. Are you serious? We have to stop. Who cares? The world wants us to run and hide. They want us to be in this little wall, and then we leave. Let's put our crosses away. That's what people do. When we walk into a room, people need to know there's something special because Jesus is there. They need to know. When we walk into a room, if someone comes in our house, the atmosphere is different because Jesus is there. Who knows that our home is a ministry? Our family, our children are a ministry. When people come into your house, if you are who you say you are, and that Holy Spirit and all that fire and power and angels and everything else are in that house, they should come and they should feel transformed just by walking in your house. What's that? Yeah. Scripture says signs and wonders follow those who what?
Believe.
Thank you. Believe. Yeah. It doesn't say those who are gifted, those who are anointed by the out-of-town prophet, those who believe. So that night I was set free. The impossible was done. You know what I started to do? I started to believe and have actual faith that this God is alive and he lives in me. And oh my, how special that is. So when I go and lay my hands on someone and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, you know what I expect? That they are going to be healed. And that's just not for me. It's not that I'm special. It's that I believe. It says the faith of a mustard seed will move a mountain. I've not needed to move a mountain yet, but when I do, I believe it will go. You better believe it, right? There's no limitations to what God can do. See, when I was 13, I was baptized in the church. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But when I was 37, and that night happened, I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered to Jesus, to his lordship. And everything in my life started to transform. Because this is about living a transformed life. I talked to Travis. He said, we want the fivefold ministry in this church. So I'm going to start sharing with you a few testimonies of some of the things that God does in my life. So that night he said, Nathan, he said, you're going to do this too. And I believed him. So I started going out, praying for people, had no idea what I was doing. Just knew God lived in me. I knew he told me that that was going to happen in my life. I started not seeing miracles. Chances are, if you pray for somebody for healing, you guys need to know this. If you pray for somebody for healing, if you've never, ever prayed for them before, there's probably a pretty good chance you won't see it the first time. It probably took me dozens, but you know what I started to see is that people would still cry. They'd still feel the presence of God. They say, wow, no stranger has ever prayed for me in my life. It was love. I was learning how to become love, how to look like Jesus. And it was a beautiful thing. Because see, I wait for the day. I pray and declare for the day that when I walk into the grocery store and I look all over the grocery store and people are getting prayed over. In the grocery store. In the movie theater. At the baseball game. We think we go to the baseball game and it's about baseball. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're living in a surrendered life, it's about Jesus. Because we've made our kids idols, we've made their sports idols, and Jesus comes like third or fourth. Our kids are important. We should be in their life, but we are still on that field to be a light.
Yes, we are.
We cannot forget who we are just because we're on a field. That's when Jesus shines the most. I used to play golf. I finally gave it up because I had too much going on in my life. And, you know, there's a cost. I played since I was 8 years old. When I was set free, I had a 2 handicap. That was pretty good for those who don't know golf, but that was pretty good. And so when I got set free, I'd still go off on the golf course and play with my buddies. And you know what? I saw people delivered on the golf course. I saw people healed on the golf course. Because I'll tell you right now, that's not a place where God gets to shine a lot. And he's ready for those moments when those people are vulnerable. So you can be a light anywhere that you go. So this is about 4 years ago now. It was Christmas Eve. And we were at a get-together, and some people were there, and we started sharing stories. I just started sharing that, you know, I'm praying for people, and, you know, I'm believing that I'm going to start seeing people healed. And they said, well, you know, our son Zach, he just sprained his MCL playing basketball. He had a big brace on his knee, pain, bruising, swelling, inflammation, all those things. They said, well, let's pray for Zach. So we got on, we started praying for Zach, and I said, so this is called faith, and sometimes we need to do things to activate that. So I always ask people, I'm like, well, Zach, what did you feel? You feel anything? And he starts messing around with his knee. He's like, well, you know, it's been a lot of pain, and I don't feel anything. So he goes to the bathroom, and I knew something was happening because it had been about 5 or 10 minutes, and I think he was probably back there freaking out because he comes back with the brace off. All the swelling, all the inflammation, all the bruising that had been there on his knee just 15 minutes before was completely gone. He went out running the next morning, and he said that his knee that had been touched by God was better than the one that had not been hurt. And that's the first time I ever saw an instant miracle through the power of prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, it was not the last. It was not the last. And God started using me in that way. And so when Travis talks about bringing people in here, you guys have to know, healing is for today. He's a God that loves. He's a God that delivers. He's alive. He does not want you sick or in pain. Some of us think, well, this is where God wants me. No. God does not want you sick or in pain. I mean, I've prayed for people. This is not to say, look at me. This is to say, look at God. Because sometimes it's just the things that he does. I prayed for a man one time with my wife. I watched gout. You guys know what gout is? I watched it disappear off a man's leg. I just watched it go. And I believe as I start sharing these testimonies right now, if you believe in your heart that God is our healer and you have pain in your body, I do not even need to pray for you. You believe it in your heart, and people right now will start having healings in their bodies. Right now. Because the presence of God is in this room. We think that we aren't worthy. We think that we aren't worthy of being healed. So many of us, I see it all the time, the guilt. I say it again, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. Maybe we're living, still doing things in our life that are wrong, so we just don't know that he can love us. Last month, I was out. We were at a water park, and this is what I talk about. At a water park with my kids, I'm there to have fun. But guess what? Jesus still wants to show up. And guess what? When you start praying for people in front of their kids, guess what? They get to grow up in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Because we've been taught since a very young age, even in the church, that these things aren't for today. They're not real. But when you're 5 years old and you see a person get healed, you know from a young age, wow, well, this is what Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. So a woman comes up. She had a big, big brace on her leg. She was limping around. I said, hey, young lady, you know, I just started asking her what happened. She said that 20 years ago, she stole a car, and she hurt her knee. Her knee had been injured for 20 years. And I asked her, I said, well, did you repent? She said, oh, yeah. She said, this taught me a lot about crime. She said, of course I repent. But she was in a tough place. She had been walking around in guilt and shame and condemnation over what she had did for 20 years and didn't know that God could still love her. And what did I say? I said, you are not meant to be in pain. God loves you. And I speak all pain in that knee to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Guess what she did? She started moving. She started doing in the air karate kicks. And she called me. I gave her my number. She called me the next day. And she said that all the pain, all the swelling, all the inflammation that had been there for 20 years was gone. And guess what? It restored her faith. And she could see that God still loved her. He still loves us. I don't know why this is on my heart, because I told the Lord normally I knew what testimonies I'm going to share, but this morning I didn't. I think that he wants this room to know that when you are, I've said this, but like when you leave here today, go be a light. Yeah. He's going to use you differently than he uses me, but I have to tell you, sharing the gospel is not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. It was a command to share and preach the gospel to all nations. To cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead was not negotiable. It was a command. So when you leave today, if you go to the football field, you go to the baseball field, you go to the store, you go to the gym, I couldn't see you to tell you the number of people that get healed in my gym. My hot tub, where I go, that is holy water. Almost every time I'm in that hot tub, there's an encounter someone has with Jesus. I don't plan it. It's just my life. It's who I have become because I know him. I've spent so much time with him, intimately, in the secret place, getting to know him. Hear that still small voice that when he speaks to me and he wants to use me, I know it's his voice and I make the choice, because who knows, he gives us a choice, to be obedient. And then when you are obedient and you become Jesus and you know it's his voice, you'll know because you're going to see the fruit. If there's somebody with pain and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, tells you to go speak to that person and pray, 90% of the time, if it's the voice of God, they are going to say yes, because they have a heart that's ready to receive whether they know it or not. Last year, see, this is not about what we want. How we're feeling, the day we're having, it does not change who the Jesus is in us. Sometimes I get an argument with my wife, well, it's like, well, God's not going to use me today. Oh, yes, he will. Yes. About 3 years ago, I was having a bad day. How am I looking on time? I'm almost finished. I was having a bad day. Who knows that there are no bad days in the kingdom? There is no excuse for us to have a bad day. I know that I can feel the silence in the room. Well, yes, there is. There is no excuse if you are walking in the kingdom of God to have a bad day. I knew that there was a woman that I was supposed to call. We were blessing her with something financially. I did not want to call her. I knew I probably was going to have to pray for her, and that's in my mind. That's what I was thinking. Just because I love to pray for people doesn't mean I want to do it all the time. But a lot of times, the times I don't feel like it, and when I do it, are when I see the biggest miracles. We start talking to her. She said, well, I'm going back to the doctor in the morning to have a DNC. Y'all know what that is? It means, essentially, she had a baby that was in her womb that was dead. They were going to remove it from her womb. What do we say sometimes when we know that, even as Christians? Well, God loves you. It's going to be okay. I pray for your family. That child's in heaven. You'll see them again someday. That seems like a nice thing to say, right? I asked her if I could pray. She said, yes. I said, I speak life over your womb, life over that child. I speak abundant life over you right now in the name of Jesus, and that child will come alive. Because we need to know that this, like, for God to raise the dead, it's like us breathing. Anyways, 2 days later, I go over to deliver this gift to this woman, and she said, I just want to let you know that that baby is alive. That baby is alive, and that woman now goes to our church with that almost two-year-old child. And that little girl is a blessing and a miracle. We're all miracles, but a miracle from God. All when I didn't want to pray. You know what? It doesn't have anything to do with me other than saying yes. It's his power. It's his love. We got to get ourselves out of the mix because it's not about us. It's called dying. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. So I'm wrapping up. I think y'all told me to tell you, right? So bless you guys. When I spoke to Travis, I said, do you want to see miracles in your church? Do you want to see people healed? Because I'm going to honor you. And he said, yes, we do. And so here's the thing. I can guarantee that there are people in this room that are sick, that have disease. There are people in this room that are in pain. And I want to tell you that God does not want you to be in pain. And if you want a healing in your body, well, hi, girls. Hi. You see those little cuties? Hi, Kai. You opened the door at the perfect time because you know what, guys? These kids are miracles. They are called by God. And they opened the room at the perfect time because the presence of God is here. But when I see these innocent, beautiful little children come in, I see miracles. I don't know what it is, but they're meant to be here. This is going to be the life that they're going to live. And I just want to speak over your church, guys. This is a special place. I believe this gentleman right here, the apostles, the prophets, people have been paving the way for this for a long time. I've been to this church one time before, and the time I was here, I watched a man sit right here who was legally blind, legally deaf, give a sermon, and then prophesy over every single person in the room. Blind and deaf in the spirit, in the natural, but in the spirit, he could see and hear so beautifully. He could only see a shadow and just speak into their life. The prophets have been here. The apostles have been here. The evangelists have been here. Guys, this is a sanctuary. This is a place of worship, and God has called you to steward this in. He's trusting you. The world and so many out there, don't try to make this about the cool kids. This will not be a country club. So many churches have had, I just feel the presence of God. This will not be a country club. This is going to be a special place that when people drive by on that road out there, they are going to come here not because of the coffee and because of the donuts, but because they feel the presence of God so strongly. They may not even know what that is, but they want to come through this door. And when they come here, they're going to have transformation in their life. This is about transforming lives. It's not about the number of people in the seats or about a number of money or any of that. It's about serving the kingdom of God. And that's what you guys are going to do. I declare it on your life. Get your egos out of the way if you have one, because it's not about you. It's about him, and he's right here. We should never be offended. We should never be upset. Travis or JJ should never be able to offend you. There is no offense in the kingdom of God. If we are in here right now, we should be love. So bless you guys. I don't want to call people out. But if you have pain in your body, if you want healing in your body, you can raise your hand or you can come to the front and I will pray for you and you will be touched by God. And we'll take time. Amen. Here they come. What's up, brother? I see the tears in your eyes. What's going on?
It's pain.
Where is it?
Hips.
Hips? Okay. What's your name, brother?
Justin.
Justin? So Father, I thank you for Justin. I thank you for loving him as your son. And right now, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we just speak healing. We speak life. And Holy Spirit, fire right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. All infirmities leave. You have no power, dominion, or authority anymore. You get out in the name of Jesus. And we speak for all the pain to leave, for the hips to be restored, for the shoulders to be restored, Lord, for all the pain to leave his body. In the mighty name of Jesus, yes. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. He didn't fall back. I did not touch him. Just so you guys know, this is not a game. This is not a show. This is the power of God. What's up, brother?
I've had a knee injury for years.
Okay.
Playing football.
Yep.
And Lord's telling me to come up and get prayed for.
Yeah. What's your name, brother?
Dave McCoy.
Dave. Father, I just thank you for this man's heart. I can just see the love, Lord, for the kingdom and the Jesus in his heart. And you do not want him in pain, Lord. So I speak life and abundant healing over him right now in the name of Jesus, for the arthritis to leave, for every single muscle, ligament, and tendon and bone in his body and his knee to be restored, for all the pain to leave and full range of motion. I just speak joy and peace in his heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Complete healing. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
You feel anything in the knee? You just be honest.
It's still creaky.
Creaky. So Lord, we thank you that you are a God of 100% healing. I know you do not want Dave in pain. And we speak 100% healing right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fire right here, Lord. Holy Spirit, fire right here, Lord. Just touch his knee. Complete healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless you, bro. What's up, my man? We got shoulder. Can you move it? Can't move it. You can't lift it up over your head? Yeah, it hurts. What's your name?
Huh?
What's your name?
Treasure Brother.
What is it?
Dusty.
So Dusty, Lord, I thank you for this man of God. I just thank you for who he is, Lord, and you've created him to be. We speak healing over his body. The infirmity that's trying to cause this right now, that has caused this, you get out right now in the name of Jesus. You never return. I speak peace and healing over his heart, mind, body, and soul, Lord. I thank you for filling him with joy. I thank you that he is special, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Full range of motion in the shoulder. Stiffness go, arthritis go, infirmity leave now in Jesus' name. Try and move your shoulder. What's he feeling?
Huh?
What are you feeling?
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all right. Lord, so this spot right here in the name of Jesus, all pain go. Knots leave. Clots leave. Complete healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this man's heart, Lord. What's up, brother? How you doing? Am I here to pray for you? Here to get prayer?
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, Nate's continuing to pray.
I call it gone.
Okay. Amen.
For people
what
up front,
what
for
kind?
Healing.
What's going on? Okay.
It's not too late. If you need a touch
Lord,
in your body, come on
what's
up.
What's your name?
Tony.
But this isn't a time for us
right
to disengage from the presence of God.
And never return. We speak
this is a time for us to press in to the presence of God.
Right now, Lord,
press
that every
into
cell
what he's doing
in
the hearts and lives and the bodies
normal,
of the people
the
up here.
Leave and that all his blood work is normal, Lord. Set him free right now, Lord. Spirit of cancer, leave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Complete healing. All pain go.
Thank you, God.
You feel anything going on? Okay, well, praise God. Bless you. Hello, young lady.
Hey.
You come up for prayer?
Arrhythmia.
What's that?
My heart's out of rhythm.
Okay. All right, Lord. What's your name?
Jan.
So, Lord, I thank you for Jan. I just speak to her heart, Lord. I know that she has a heart that loves you, and I know that you do not want her in pain. So we speak healing, Lord, over her heart, that her heartbeat is completely restored to normal right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever is causing it, leave right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill her with your fire, Lord.
Don't leave today.
Holy Spirit, fire.